you know, Henry Ford had said he had been converted to Catholicism, so he went and used his financial influence to get a 33-degree Mason right off the bat. I'll teach on the history of Masonry, but it doesn't bother me to move into the circles where other men move, and anybody with the intelligence to sort out the meaning of ultimate things becomes like a magnet, a leader in any area. I'm tired of people feeling sort of comfortable, like when the preacher comes, the freak's around. Oh my God, you know, we can't think normal of preachers here. About three or four paragraphs into it, and I teach them how to cuss, they start feeling comfortable. We've made Christians into freaks. Oh, I know you're not of the world because I've chosen you out of the world. That's it. The church has emphasized too much that you're not of the world without the second phrase. You don't have to work at being different. You're not of the world because I've chosen you out of the world. You can't erase the fact. It doesn't matter to me whether I'm sitting on the board of a company that's in Fortune's 500. They find out right away I believe in eternal things. But that doesn't fog my brain to make a decision that's a business decision. I'll tell you what I think. I think that the most effective pastor in the world would probably make the best president in the United States. But who in the world that is the most effective pastor would want to be the president? See, I see what I'm doing. Sorry. I see, for me to do anything else, a step down. I'm sorry, you know, that's the way I feel. I can serve on boards of large companies. I can take on projects with your help. But don't expect me to trade off the prized possession, the chance to teach and open the eyes of people and answer questions that have bugged them for years. Christianity avoids questions. They just keep you in the same little old corral. They're going to go to heaven if they get there and live in a tent, and God won't let anybody raise the flap for fear they'll find somebody else is in heaven. And it'd ruin it for them. Now, I believe my day has come. It's my chance to be on TV. I hope God raises up 1,000 more like me in the pursuit of truth, open-minded Christianity, non-judgmental, non-condemnatory, non-dump on you. I'd like to see people who believe in God lead the way in the sciences, in education, in the areas that call for the best minds. I think that any brain trust is improved for someone whose mind is open to God. Now, I believe my time's come, and I'm asking you to help me get there, but with dignity. I want no support from anyone I haven't taught. I want to prove to an onlooking world that we can raise the money without the gimmicks, without the giveaways, without suggesting that the message itself is not valuable enough that it can fly by itself. And I'm sorry, every other ministry on TV suggests to me that what they are saying is not valuable enough to fly by itself. They got to have the giveaways, the tricks, the projects, the save the babies. And I look back, you know, they raise the question, and so I then look closely to see if it's true. And it is. Their message is not valuable enough to stand on its own. This may be the first. At least we're willing to test it and say, don't support us unless the teaching deserves it. That's why I say to Indianapolis, we haven't been in your city long enough. I'm not asking anything from you. Oh, I will. After I've been there a while, I believe there'll be people that respond to the teaching, and at the very least, you'll carry your airtime. But in the meantime, people that valued what I'm doing open the door to go into Indianapolis. And it's to those people I'm talking to. I want to go to Chicago. And I want you to help this ministry to become the strongest and most powerful ministry in America, without any gimmicks, without any tricks, without any giveaways. Now that's a worthwhile project. And it ought to be respected, because I'm saying to anybody who listens, if I haven't taught you, don't give me anything. If I've taught you, what's it worth? Now, Indianapolis, I've told you fairly. That's what I'm doing tonight. If you don't want to watch, turn the knob and come back next week when I'll be teaching. I'm going to have $700,000 by Sunday, $110,000 Sunday night, $55,000 last night. We got $545,000 to go. Let's get with it. Get on the telephone and call me if you agree with what I'm saying. Help make this voice the most heard voice in America. That's what I'm asking you to do right now. Get on that phone, 1-800-338-3030, the number on the screen, the song, What Do You Think? I want to know. Let me see every phone jam up. Come on. In California, New England, San Francisco, I've been with you the longest. New York City. You want me to stay in your town? I've taught you enough. There are people who can evaluate the ministry tonight. Talk to them. Come to me. Now, you've heard the man. I mean, what he said was right. Yeah. I mean, they're not. There are a few people on TV that I can agree with. I have to come and listen to myself once in a while. Now, you heard the man. Do what he said. I can tell you how much came in last night. Not 145,000. We're dead even now. Just enough to take us to a total of 200,000. We had 8 days... One of the days we weren't going to count because it was Monday and we were starting with Miami. We got a little head start, and we had to have $100,000 a day for the 7 days, eliminating one. Well, we now are even. We have 200,000 down, 500,000 to go. You better not let me down tonight. Now, I got 6 minutes before a whole bunch of cities join us, and that always interrupts the flow. So how much can you do in 6 minutes? Teach the devil that we can even whip a six tonight. I need 500 people given $1,000. I'm telling you, if you aren't mad in Los Angeles and in San Francisco, you ain't got any rousements in you. And the way to whip the devil is resist him. Help me whip him. Come on now. Get on the telephone and call right now. Songs I want to know, just like the man said. Here's somebody in South Pasadena. They came roaring like a bat out of hell off a side road in front of me, whirled around the corner. And then they parked when I drove by, and I was so used to people starting yesterday driving funny that I'm watching defensively, so it didn't bother me that much. But I thought I recognized him when I went by, and he sort of went like that and was still sitting there like he was in shock, because he must come around that corner. I mean, he was really going. So he says, "Happy birthday, Doc. I'm sorry, Doc. I was the jerk in the yellow car today. I'll be more careful next time." I think that's funny. That's the first time anybody had ever apologized to me yet since I've been in Los Angeles. That made my whole day. Just thank God that he kept us at least 2 seconds apart. If I'd been down the road just another 50 yards and he'd have been 1 second slower, that'd have been a collision. That's funny. Hey, here's in Blues Alley. It says the gang's all here and having a ball. If you were here, it'd be Beulah Land. They're having a party for me at Blues Alley tonight. And here I am. It's my birthday, but I'm here. You ought to thank me for that. I mean, you know, I must really love you people. Where else would I be? There's my family. You going to revolve my face, or are we going to have to wait a minute for it? The sheriff was at the door with the keeper and demanding the door be opened. Now, if they'd called me sooner, I'd have told them what to do. But for some reason or other, we've been being so sweet to people. They said, you can't come in. And they said, well, we'll break the door down if we can't get in, the sheriff said. Allegedly had a writ of execution to come and take possession of this property and receive all the money, take an inventory, and put a keeper here. Now, of course, the writ of execution was for a different corporation and company. It's like, you know, going down to Neiman Marcus with a writ of execution to their address to take possession of it because Broadway Stores owes you something. And we told them that, that they're at the wrong place. And they said, well, you produce a business license to prove the other place isn't here. Or, well, churches don't need business licenses. So they let them in. And when I found out about it, you can imagine what I started doing. And then I called my old buddy Ed, you know, that's where Ed and I get together. You know, I don't really care whether Ed ever does anything else. He and I sort of have a certain kind of chemistry. Our Leo blood starts going. And, you know, we tied up a few phone lines. And, you know, you've heard about that guy that was so ugly that his parents carried him around for 2 years upside down and thought he was one-eyed. When we got done with the asteroid orifice on this guy, his parents would have carried him around upside down for 2 or 3 years and thought he was a funnel. And of course they voluntarily left, and there ain't no keeper here tonight. And, you know, then I gave a few more lectures about here bossy doesn't mean you give up the bucket. And there ain't nobody coming in this place unless they got the proper papers. And if they'd, you know, I've been crying all afternoon. If they'd let them break the door down, I'd be suing their tail. I mean, you know, they wouldn't look like a funnel, it'd look like a collapsed one, you know, just a flat piece of paper with a little hole in the middle of it. You know? Can you imagine somebody skinned, you know, just skinned and inverted from the asteroid orifice outward? But because they let them in under color of law and with permission, and they left when they got the drilling technique, you can't really sue them. I cried all afternoon if they'd just broken the dang door down. If they'd just done that, you could fly 747s through there. That's the way my birthday started. Now that tells me that the devil's trying to upset me. I mean, considering this stupid letter from the FCC. I mean, you know, we must really be on the right track. We must really be getting the devil's goat. Where is that spizzerinctum that has made my people smell a battle that counts and rally to the flag of victory and get the job done? I mean, I've seen us catch on to what's really happening and like old warriors come alive. We're on the right track. I mean, we got them scared. scared to death. The devil is scared. I just love to stomp him good tonight. And all you people in Nashville and Richmond and Tulsa wish you'd help me do it. Now, I've been telling you every night, this is not what we normally do. I teach. In fact, I can't remember over the last 2 months having any concentrated fundraising. But by Sunday, we're going to have 700,000 for a secret. Now, the second station we've ever been on, you remember there's one down in South Carolina? We went on them once and they couldn't handle it, the manager couldn't handle it. So we just brought on another station that covers the same territory and been on ever since. Now, in the midst of all this good news where we're being actually solicited by giant networks and third is Chicago, that's what I'm trying to say, and ADIs. The station I was most questionable about was Indianapolis, because it's 59 way up on the U's, and Indianapolis is nice, but it ain't Dallas-Fort Worth or Miami or one of the biggies. And they solicited us. And we've been avalanched by calls. Well, today, we got a call from the manager, and he said he had been listening the last two nights, and he was personally offended because he heard me say, "Don't ask me what I'm going to do with the money. It's nobody's business what I do with the money." And that so offended him that he said he was going to take us off. We says, "How soon?" And now, wait a minute. We did say, that is a principle. I don't let anybody ask what's done with the money. If that bothers you, don't give. And as always, I've never had anybody get upset about that except somebody who has no intention of giving. What they want to know is what you're doing with money other people give. Well, none of their damn business. I'm on a crusade. Now, the facts are, I don't even see the money when it comes in. It's open to someone else, you can't even give me money. It's stamped with somebody else stamping it and putting it in the bank. And it's like giving to any other church, but I'm still going to make the principle. I am going to crusade against these people that don't understand God's way of giving. You take the tithes and the offering into the storehouse. You weren't even allowed behind the curtain where the showbread was placed. God's priest went there. I'm on a crusade to return God's people to God's way. And the only thing I'm sorry of, we didn't say to the station manager, "What the hell did you do with the money we paid you for the airtime?" Now, when they called from Indianapolis tonight, I've told you exactly why we're not on, because they're going to call. So don't spare them. I haven't done this in a long, long time. Anybody has a right to take us on, or put us on, take us off. But I'm very open and honest in what I do. And you know it before I start, so don't start questioning my right to do it my way. It is nobody's damn business what I or this church do with the money. You are paying for what you have already gotten. I don't ask you to tell me what you do with what I teach. Put it in your pipe and smoke it. And if you don't like what I teach, turn the knob. And if you don't respond or value what I teach, that's your right. But if you are taught by me and believe what I'm teaching, part of that which I teach is God's word that says, if so be you've been taught, then share materially with the one that taught you good things. And fly out over the Pacific and drop it. That's my business. There isn't any other preacher in the world giving the word of God that kind of dignity. They're all a bunch of whining, begging, self-justifying, and in some cases, lying fundraisers. I teach and say, if you don't get anything out of what I do, you don't owe me a dime, and I don't want you to send me anything. If I've taught you, God's eyeballing you to see if you'll value it the way I value it. I don't ever link healing to taking up offerings. I don't prey on the poor. If you only want to give $5, and if that's all you can afford, you're too poor to support me, so keep it. I accept the Spirit, but keep it. I'm supported by people that are intelligent, that can afford it, and that are willing to say, I admire the man because he values what he's doing the way it ought to be valued. I'm tired of these people cheapening the gospel by acting like it must be supported with a 52-cent cross. Now, them's my sentiments, folks. And down south, you can normally talk straight and people understand you. I'm sorry if the manager feels that way. He is the second. And the very same day that must be number 40 or 50 in the ratings. I mean, ADI, way down there. Another network with four cities, all of them above 20 in the ADI, are all but begging us to come on, who know exactly what we're doing. And I really appreciate the stations that are with us that have figured out we're dealing straight. I'm telling you exactly what's happening. I'm out to prove a point that you can raise $3 million for a secret. But I'm not going to let anybody put strings on me. I'm teaching freedom. I'm setting people free from those bondage makers. You think I'm going to let the people who support me think they can buy me, control me, or tell me what to do when I'm out setting you free? Not a chance. They say, well, how can he sit there and talk about Jesus and smoke a cigar? Because it's about time for intelligent Christians to tell the rest of the dummies to go suck their thumb. I hope you get some of my moxie. The weak have run the church long enough. It's time for the strong, with a smile, a twinkle in their eye, say, move over. If you don't like me, that's your problem. Time for the weak and the intelligent. And I think it's time that the Word of God and a teacher be evaluated as more precious than diamonds. It's time for the Word of God and a teacher. Don't tell me you can trust me with your soul and with your brain if you can't trust me with money. I won't get on the defensive on that subject. I won't be happy and really feel I've achieved my purpose until God's people help me buy the Vatican. I'll tell you this, we haven't done what we've done, exploiting crying babies dying orphans or sick people. My support comes from intelligent people that say, boy, you know, I never heard it quite that straight, but he's right. Either God's word and the teaching of it is worth that, or it isn't worth anything. And I intend to keep crawling out of my foxhole. And you know, there's some cities I shouldn't be in. Really. They ain't ready for me. That's their problem. I'm not out here trying to convert the morons. I'm trying to find the intelligent. I mean, we can have a long time affair together. Now, the song is I Want to Know, and everybody agrees with me, jam the phones as fast as you can before the slow-thinking morons figure out what they're going to do. Well, play it one more time and then give me I Don't Like It. Don't worry about that city. We'll be in it on another station. We've already been contacted by another station. Don't worry about it. But when you get calls tonight, Voices of Faith, you know what to say. Well, I got more people agreeing with me than the one or two that don't. Sorry, I didn't make it. Memphis, Tennessee, we really missed you at your birthday party. It was a great party at Blues Alley. Boy, I wish I could have been there. How were the ribs? And here's Los Angeles. Bel Air, in fact. I'll be sending $7,000. Nashville, I'm going to Rome next week. You want me to make an offer on the Vatican for you? Yeah. Tell the Pope to call me. Hello, Kansas. Hello, Dallas, Fort Worth. Hello, Rochester, New York. Are you curious about what happened last night? We're up to 200,000 now. You know, this is as close to a telethon as we ever come. We don't have telethons. We don't have giveaways. We don't have gimmicks. We don't have whinies. I just teach. But every so often, I have an object lesson I want to teach. That there are people in today's world who will evaluate teaching and fund a program with dignity. Now, I don't want anybody ever supporting me that I haven't taught. I pastor a church. It's congregational polity. It's 39 years old, 30,000 king's houses. Close to 15,000. And I'm collecting a $700,000 birthday present. And by next Sunday. Now, all you folks that have only been with us a few days, why don't you just sit back and enjoy yourself and say, I can't believe it. We're honest with you, and that's rare. I don't want anybody supporting me that I haven't taught. If I've taught you, between you and God. Now, God has his way of giving. He says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. And if I'm the place where you eat and you really believe God's word, I say over and over again, if you're going to be a Christian, be one. But we're going to be friends. Whether you support or not, I teach, and a lot of people don't want to express any value. Fine. I'm on a one-man crusade to prove you can do it this way. Now we have 200,000 down, 500,000 to go. And I'm looking for 500 people, less those that have already done it, to give $1,000 by Sunday. And I'm going to get it. Now I'm being open and honest with you in Kansas and the cities that we're new in, Columbus, Ohio. I don't expect you to do anything. But at least you can enjoy watching the way we do it. How's that for being straightforward? Now, be patient with me. I'll get back to teaching. And if you listened last night, I got around to some teaching, didn't I? In the south of France, and we got into that special gospel story that Rubanus did. that manuscript about Mary Magdalene. We'll get back to some of that. Might even teach on pyramid tonight. Listen, I love the folks in Tulsa. They're calling me. And you need to write the station. We could maybe get on earlier. I need all the folks in Tulsa and all the folks in Kansas and all the folks in Columbus, Ohio, and all the folks in Dallas-Fort Worth and Winston-Salem and Nashville to call their station. They'll call the station. Tell them you like old Gene being on. My birthday, I'm going to do what I want to do tonight now. I'm going to sit here with my friends and my family and have a good time. I want everybody to get on the phone now. Let's have a game we play tonight called Dialing for Doc. I want every friend I got to wish me a happy birthday. Get on the telephone. That makes me feel good, and I want to feel good. I just like to feel good. In fact, I think I want to play that song again. I don't like it. I like that song. I'm going to play it. It's my birthday. I'm going to play what I like tonight. Augusta, Kansas. I really like your show, watching almost a week. Really think he's a neat guy. Tell me more. I mean, it's my birthday. Why don't you call up and tell me how wonderful I am? Lie a little. Make a 45-year-old man feel good. Plano, Texas. When Doc says Dallas is in the black, what does that mean? Are we going off the air? No, I'm not going off the air. It means that for the first time since I went to Dallas-Fort Worth, the people in Dallas and Fort Worth are giving enough money to pay just your airtime. I never ask any city to do anything to pay their own airtime. We don't ask you to pay our satellite. We don't ask you to support our orphanage. We don't ask you to pay my salary. We don't ask you to pay my worker's salary. We don't ask you to pay our production. We don't ask you to pay for our satellite. We don't ask you to pay for anything, not even the books we send you. We do think that a city eventually should pay its own airtime. Now, for the first time, Dallas almost made it last month. The reason we're able to go in these cities is because I've been teaching 10 years in Los Angeles and San Francisco, and they give surplus. Now, Dallas-Fort Worth is just about to move into the black, which means this month, for the first time after many, many months, almost a year in Dallas, you will pay your own way for the first time. That's all. That's what it means. New York City. I was talking to my mother-in-law in Kansas City. She says that half the city's buzzing about the Royals and the other half's buzzing about a new pastor on TV. Listen to this. Memphis, Tennessee. We had a big birthday cake with a pyramid and a sax on the side. They're videotaping and going to send you a copy tomorrow. You missed the dangest birthday party there ever was. Send it to me. I'll play pictures of it on TV. Danville, Virginia. I like it when they get down there closing in on Lynchburg. Corona, California. Doc, you freed us and we refuse to bind you. See you Sunday. Play, I've had it. Call me up, everybody, and wish me a happy birthday. I want to feel good tonight. Dallas, happy birthday, Doc. Commerce, Oklahoma. What do you think about once saved, always saved? Once saved, always saved. Pretty boring, I'd say. Sunnyvale, California, what subject did you do your doctoral thesis in? Reinhold Niebuhr's theology, the neo-orthodox theologian. Wichita, I think he's super neat. It's different, but I really like it. Nashville, I'm watching, and so forth. Yours is the better program. Others have fake smiles on their faces. Could you explain what a King's House is? They make a commitment to watch at least one night a week and to support in some way or other. They're willing to be identified and let the world know they want me to stay in their city. Grove, Oklahoma. I've been dumped on because I smoke ever since I became a Christian 2 years ago. Why don't you get out from under the dump chute? Stay away from those people. Just listen to me and find you some good sinner friends. Well, I've had it now. Getting so many messages, I can't even hold them in my lap. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Wichita, Kansas, happy birthday. We think you're great here. Could you play Fred falling out of his chair? Well, maybe before the night's over. Now, I'll be right back. Well, here we are, third night in Miami. And Memphis just joined us. I'm getting all kinds of people calling me from Memphis, saying they were at the party at Blues Alley. They had a birthday cake for me with a pyramid on one side and a saxophone on the other side. And they made a videotape and they're going to send it to me. That'd be fun. I hope they got some of those musicians in the videotape. I'll play it on my program here. I am 45. Today's my birthday. I want everybody who thinks I look younger than 45 to call me right now. Lie a little. Lie. Tell a big lie tonight. Just for old Gene's sake. Make me feel good. I want to be happy tonight. Now I've decided I'm not going to work. I'm going to sit here and have a good time. It's my birthday, and I'm 45. 45. Well, am I the gone fishing? I got to thinking it over. That road to the river, it's a mighty long way. Oh, well, it must be the season. Ain't no rhyme or no reason. Come on, I want some music. I'm tired of working. Let's just play. Just want to play now. I'm tired of working. Oh, well, where's the piano player? Sammy, you're the one that called and wished me a 65-year-old birthday. Forty-five. Give me the key. Me. Oh, well, am I the wrong fish? My wrong fish. Hold on. You don't go fishing that fast. Oh, well, I might have gone fishing. Forget what you're doing in there, Mike, and get in here with that camera right now. I want some water behind me.
Water!
Water. Gotta see some water.
Water.
Water. Water. Well, what is that? Well, a mighty dog fishing.
Keep on fighting.
Over a line and a more. taking it easy. It's my birthday.
It's my lazy day.
Come on out.
The river.